Will you turn with me, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and we may read from verse 32, and read down to verse 42. We began looking at this section last Lord's Day morning with reference to verses 32 to 36, and my intention is for us to reflect upon what we have partly in these verses, but more particularly in verses 37 to 42. Jesus taketh with him Peter, verse 32, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and saith unto him, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And this is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord bless it to us and our meditation upon it this morning, particularly verses 37 to 42. Now, the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane involves great depth spiritually. It was, as we maintained from verse 32 to 36 last week, it was for the Lord Jesus Christ indeed a garden of sorrows in which he was anticipating the forthcoming sufferings. And his human nature, he had a human and divine nature in one person, shrank from the burden of it. This cup that he speaks about here, that he says that if it were possible the Lord should remove, is the cup of God's wrath against sin, which he knew by anticipation that he was going to bear in these forthcoming events and culminating in the death on the cross. And he shrank from it. And when we observe what happened in the garden, we are introduced to some of these debts involved in why the Lord came and the sufferings that he anticipated, in order that there might be, for sinners such as we are, salvation accomplished. But when we look at these events that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, there are other aspects of what we find here that we mustn't miss, and important lessons from Jesus' teaching, and also, we have to say, from the disciples' inadequacies. It has to do with the importance of prayer for the individual and for the church. And the lesson arises naturally here because Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane for the purpose of praying. And not only that, he encouraged the disciples to be engaged in prayer along with him. And he is therefore discouraged and disappointed in his human nature at what happened with them. Therefore, there are important lessons for us and for the church and for the individual professing man or woman. There are lessons here in that area, in this very important area. And we, indeed, we would have to say that in relation to Christian faith and life, if we were to distinguish these things that were most important in maintaining Christian faith and life and a lively church, we would have to focus in on this very matter that we have here in these verses. We look at the country. We look around us, this country of ours, whether we think of Scotland or the whole of the United Kingdom. And anyone with a keen sense of what is going on will realise very quickly that the church is in a very poor state in this land. And when the question is raised, why, there may be different answers given. Why the church is not stronger than it is. Why the church is not more vital and vibrant. And some may say that the church has to be more with it. It is to brighten up and loosen up. It is to appeal more to the young or the old for that matter. Now, and we have to recognise that it is true. Or we have to recognise that it may be true that our worship, when we come together for worship, doesn't have the spark and enthusiasm that it ought to have. I mean, here we are coming to the worship of God, and there ought to be in our hearts and lives as we do so a spark and an enthusiasm in it, that we are engaged in it. And we can reproach ourselves if there is anything lackluster in our approach to the worship of God or the uplifting to Him of our prayer or our praises. There's certainly that may be true. Because we profess to be coming into the presence of our Maker, and surely we will put our all into it. Our minds and our hearts and our souls and our strength will go into it. This is the basic purpose of our lives. And therefore we may well be reproached at a lack of real engagement and enthusiasm and zeal for the worship of God, as well as this whole matter of prayer. But adding things that are not warranted by the word will not do. Toning down the truth, that is not the way. Being careless about the requirements of the moral law because it fits more into the political correctness of our age will not do. In truth, the principal thing when we look at the church and consider how weak it is, the principal thing must lie in this area that we have brought before us in these verses here. If we fail in this, what we have here in this passage, then we fail in all. This is an area in which there has been and continues to be notable failure in the church in Scotland. Not just a want of prayer meetings in churches, that is one thing, but a want of it in the lives of people. A want of prayer in the lives of people. And we all can be reproached about this. The want of it in private, and families, and throughout the land. What a difference it will make when men and women and children get down more earnestly to the business of prayer. Well, it's in this area that we focus our message here this morning from this passage. And as we look at them, notice here, first of all, the example of the Lord. We have this in verse 32 where Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, "Sit here while I pray." And the whole focus of what we have here in the Lord's actions is that he was going aside to pray. And that is inescapable as we read these verses. His exhortation to Peter, James and John, whom he takes further into the garden, as we read in verse 34 also carries this implication that they would be watching and praying there in the garden as well. He says, stay here and watch. And that carries the idea of prayer that was laid upon them as they were coming with him into the garden is certainly established by what we have in verse 37 and following. At any rate, Jesus was in the garden to pray. We mustn't miss this. In this, he was a supreme example for his followers. Of course, this especially emphasizes for us the importance of prayer in times of affliction. In times of trouble. That was the context of his going into the garden to pray. The particular context of that time. The trouble that awaited him. And Bishop Ryle reminds us that there is nothing better in facing affliction than prayer. Even though there may be no answer immediately. Relief from afflictions may not be granted. Nevertheless, says Bishop Ryle, nevertheless, the mere act of pouring out our hearts and unburdening ourselves at the throne of grace will do us good. Why? Because it is the right disposition in such circumstances to go to the Lord and to pour out our hearts and to unburden our souls to him. Have you done this? Have you ever done this? When we think of these things, one thing we must be aware of is superficiality. We mustn't be superficial. We must be honest about this. This whole matter of praying and whether we do pray or not. People often speak about praying for people or situations. But is there real prayer? Is there a real pouring out of our hearts to the Lord? Is there a real unburdening ourselves to him, getting on our knees in the closet before the Lord and praying for ourselves, praying for our own situation, and praying for others and theirs? Or is this just a way of speaking? Or is it cursorily done? In this matter of prayer, you see, we must be serious. If we don't ask in faith, the Lord will not hear us. There must be faith. How many of us have been given an example of prayer by our parents? How many parents are giving example of prayer to their children? How much have we been taught by our parents' example to pray? How many of us have asked for help in prayer? How many of us learn from the Word of God and from the public prayers themselves as to pray, prayer and how to pray? Even the passage that we read earlier from Daniel chapter 9 and this wonderful outpouring to God from Daniel, including himself in it, you learn from this. How many of us have a concern? This is a challenge again from the Lord, by whose example the disciples were encouraged to ask, stirred to ask, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Of course, we need teaching in this. But the principal thing is that our hearts be in it and that we do earnestly seek the Lord and lay hold upon the Lord in our praying. And as they are faced by the afflictions of life, as they will be, Christians, believers, immediately, surely, they will take themselves to prayer about these things. Now, this is not an encouragement to think that it is only in such times of particular need or tragedy or affliction that we think about prayer. Of course, it is especially important in these times, either for ourselves or for others. But it's not that we are being encouraged somehow only to pray when things go wrong. Why should the Lord hear such prayers if we were going to Him only when things went wrong in our lives? There's a remarkable proverb in the Bible, right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, and it's speaking about, it's like the impersonation of wisdom, and seeking wisdom, but it is perfectly applicable in this situation of seeking the Lord. When your terror comes like a storm, here is a facing affliction, you see, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Well, why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. There is a word of caution here, you see. A word of caution that we must be careful that we don't ignore the Lord, leave Him out of our prayers, and expect that when something critical happens, well then, we will go to Him and He will hear our prayers. It would be very unusual, wouldn't it, for family members in some home, in the same home, not to speak to each other every day. I dare say those of you who are in families, and your children and adults are, whatever, you speak to one another, would be very odd if that were not the case. And in like manner, the Lord should be always in the thoughts of His people, and they will be expected to speak with Him day by day, yes, preciously and importantly, in those times of special need and affliction. But there ought to be cultivated in the believer watchfulness and prayer constantly, because this is at the heart of Christian faith, the communication of a soul with their Maker and with their Redeemer. So I invite you this morning, I invite you, as I invite myself, to examine your own life. And you ask yourself, and honestly, how much did I actually pray this past week? How much did I pray for others and for family? How much did I pray for the situations of great distress in the world with which the new media nowadays are so present, or so occupied, preoccupied? Pray for what? Pray that in such suffering men and women and children would come to cry out to God, that they may seek the Lord, that Christian witness in such a situation would be found and made effective, and people turn to the Lord, and that their needs in the goodness of the Lord should be satisfied. We read, incidentally, and you can't have failed to notice this, quite recently, as we have gone through this Gospel by Mark, we have in chapter 13, almost throughout chapter 13, these signs of the end, signs of the times, that the disciples asked Jesus about. What will be the signs of the times and when of the end? And it is quite moving for us when we think about, for example, verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13. It says, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, you be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Sorrows indeed. But how much did we pray for souls? For souls being saved under the hearing of the word. In this congregation, and other gospel congregations and churches. Because we ask, why does so little seem to be happening? Why is the church going through what seems to be lean times spiritually? Is it lack of excitement and entertainment? Well, look to this central thing, praying, prayer. Are these people praying? How are they praying? For what are they praying? Are they really following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? But this takes us on to the second point here. From the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the context that we have here of prayer in this passage in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we turn to the second point, and that is the deficiency of the disciples. In his human nature, Jesus could experience, as we've said, human emotion. And included in that is the human emotion of disappointment. Here's the situation. He comes back to Peter, James, and John, whom he had asked to watch, and they were asleep. And he says to them, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And there's a sense in which we look at the disciples and we take pity on them and we feel sorry for them. It might have been quite late, and it appears certainly that they were tired. We have this in verse 38. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak, Jesus says. But verse 40, when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And we feel sort of sorry for them, don't we? That they were very tired. People often use this excuse of tiredness for missing services and the like. No doubt there are times when we feel desperately tired, when the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are human beings, after all. But Jesus comes with this question. Could you not watch 1 hour? Could you not watch 1 hour? Is Christ disappointed by a lack of watchfulness and prayerfulness on the part of his professed followers? Well, of course he is. I had one congregation which had no prayer meeting. It wasn't in Britain, this. And the minister who was called to the congregation rightly considered that to be a weakness in the congregation, and a very desirable thing, that during the week there ought to be a gathering among the people for prayer. Prayer being so central in the life of the church. And he spoke to the people from this text. It was this. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And many were convicted by this. And they started a midweek meeting. And it grew. And the congregation has grown. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Well, here's a question. Do you think it is a good thing? Midweek prayer meeting. Do you think it is a good thing to have a midweek prayer meeting? We're bound to say it is. It is. Focuses our minds during the week on drawing near to the Lord. Of, if you like, watching with him 1 hour. And it is a revealing question to ask for those who don't attend a prayer meeting. To ask yourself, why not? That is a very revealing thing. You may not have thought about it. You may not have the heart for it. But in that case, it is a challenging thing. I don't have the heart for this. Why not? Because I don't know the Lord? Because I need to come to the Lord and to be saved? But if there are Christians, and they don't go to such a meeting, Jesus says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? But we think of this situation in our passage. The disciples were clearly tired, yet Jesus said this question, could you not wash with me 1 hour? And it didn't just happen once, it happened 3 times. Was Jesus disappointed with them? We have suggested yes indeed. He needed them to be alert in view of the momentous events that were unfolding. This is why he took Peter, James and John with him a little further into the garden. That they would be watchful because of these events that were going to unfold. But they slept. However much we may say, well, they were tired. Jesus has said, watch. Overcome that. Watch. They slept. It's almost like, I can't help thinking, that it's like a parable of the modern church. It needs to be awake and it needs to be diligent and alert for him in this day and generation, which is so difficult and dangerous spiritually, which is so low spiritually. This is the day to be watchful and alert in view of what is going on all around us and the declension and so on, so that we don't enter into temptation and lapse and so on. We need to be awake and alert for Jesus in this day, but are we slumbering? Jesus recognizes, he says in verse 38, that the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He knows our hearts, yet he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What sort of temptation? Well, he was speaking perhaps directly to Peter, although the others as well, it applied to them just the same. But you know what happened to Peter? They all fled. They had slept in the garden and they all fled. And Peter denied him 3 times, lest you enter into temptation. The temptation to deny him. You're not ready. You're not watchful. You're not alert in the things of the Lord. And therefore, this declension will just continue. When you're not watchful to prayer, you'll not be alert as you ought to be to sin and its influences in your life and its impact on the church. You'll be prone to the devil's devices. After all, watchfulness and prayer is a mark of spiritual life in the soul. And where there is a lack of prayer, there will be spiritual slackness and apathy and lethargy. We just need to think about sleeping. What do we accomplish when we're sleeping? It is very valuable to us to sleep, physically speaking. But in terms of Christian faith and life, we need a constant vigilance over our souls. The cause of God and truth cannot thrive without it. Watch and pray. It is a watchword. Jesus gives us the watchword here. Watch and pray, he says. Ryle says it should be the Christian's daily motto from the time of his or her conversion to the hour of his or her death. But is that your conviction? Is that your conviction? If it is not, we are not keeping our souls awake as we should. Or else, there needs to be a work of grace in our souls to save us and deliver us from a prayerless, Christless state. This matter of praying, then, given what we have in this passage, is of supreme importance. The situation and context here was momentous. And we have to consider, believers have to always consider, churches consider every age as one that is momentous. This is one of the great needs of the hour today in the churches. Renewed concern for prayer. And no doubt we need to repent. We need to repent of deficiencies. Repent of our prayerless spirit. Repent of having failed the Lord and disappointed the Lord by not being vigilant and watchful at the throne of grace, and plead with the Lord for forgiveness, for a spirit. Plead with him for a spirit of heartfelt and earnest and persevering prayer. And I say to you, will you not commit yourself to this? Will you not? Will you not hear and heed the voice of the Master when he says, watch and pray? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus expects his people to pray without ceasing, to be on watch like the soldiers in a conflict. I heard just the other day of a man who was watching a ship. It was rather undermanned, a fishing boat. More million pounds anyway worth of kit. He fell asleep and he went onto the rocks. And because of the circumstances, no insurance. Oh dear. Falling asleep, not watching. It is desperate. We know it's desperate in situations like that, in situations of conflict. Remember the message in Trafalgar of Nelson to his other admirals and captains. Maybe your children know this. What Nelson, the message that he gave to them: England expects every man to do his duty and inspire the ships in his fleet. What does Jesus expect of the church and those who comprise it? To do their duty, to watch and pray. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Do not be asleep in Zion when there is so much to bear up before the Lord, for the state of our souls, for the state of our family, for the state of the church in the world, for the issues, the myriad of issues that there are in the world, and pleading with the Lord that he would move. You may say, what can I do? I'm just an individual. What can I do? And the answer is much, much. With the will and with the heart and with the handle of prayer, nothing more vital than it. As we read in verse 42, so let us rise and go. Let us be stirred to be people like Jesus, people of prayer, watchfulness, seriousness in living for Jesus, so that we might not cause disappointment to the Lord in our day, or be found at last not watching at all, unconverted, finally, and found in that place where there are cries but no prayers. And may the Lord bless his thoughts upon his word. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we pray for thy grace today, thy grace for our souls, thy grace to make us alive unto God, thy grace that we might be people of prayer and holiness. We confess to thee, Lord, our deficiencies. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to be stirred in our hearts, Lord, that we might watch and pray. Look upon us in mercy today. Give us thy grace and blessing and power. Help us in the ministry of this day. Help us in the rest of this day. Help us, Lord, to enjoy a holy resting. And bless us in our families, in our situations. Lord, be with us. Help us to be faithful to Jesus. Save the unsaved. Sanctify thy name. Forgive sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen.